Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guests are back together again. It's been a few years, but hip-hop fans can rejoice in the reunion of the Cool Kids.
I got 6 cell phones and still ain't picking up for strangers, man. The fear ain't real, but I'd be damned if the danger ain't. Don't walk up on Chuck, disrespecting his hometown. He flip on that Detroit switch, you hear it in his voice. I'm Chicago, Illinois. Even if I'd have had a choice, I would have still picked the crib that I grew up in. And DKNY designed these king sheets on my bed. You still on Ian Connor Page, try to pick what to wear, yeah. These peasants fresh as me, tell me how. They still distressing tees on their couch. Yeah. Rock band tees and bands that they don't know nothing about. You heard of Iron Maiden once, bro, that don't even count. Get that goofy out of my face before I hit send them that text message. I'm working, flexing. Just made the music for techie, man. Like, what up, Chuck? Got mad. Man, it's me and you and all these dollar bills. And we make the style that they try to steal. They be running off with it like shooting drills.
While it be two-tone zones with my fit. Rockin' iceberg like a snowstorm in here. Light work, we won't never lose a step. Watching how we do it, then they run off with this shit. Like,
the Cool Kids ruled the Chicago hip-hop scene when they exploded back in 2008. Rolling Stone put them on an artist-to-watch list. The songs were used in video games and on shows like Entourage. Their debut album, Bake Sale, was well-received, as well as several mixtapes. And it led to the group opening up for MIA and performing all around the world. But in 2011, the duo Sir Michael Rocks and Chuck English started recording independently. Was it a breakup or a drift apart? Either way, it's 2016 and the Cool Kids are back and released a track to iTunes and Spotify called Running Man, which we just heard. They're going to be playing at the Art Institute, the After Dark Series, an event on November 18th. Tickets are on sale. Sir Michael Rocks and Chuck English are in studio with me tonight. Guys, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And it's great to have you guys back on the scene. So talk about this. I mean, when I say breakup or drift apart, talk about, you know, where you guys were and the idea of breaking up and getting back together.
I think breakup's just like a category where, since other bands do it, but in any, I don't know, in any partnership, like in sports, people got off seasons, so you can be playing, you know, basketball or baseball. Like baseball, imagine playing baseball. You play 162 games. At the end of the season, you're probably like, you know what?
That's a lot of games.
I'm gonna holler at you in spring training. Right. I don't want to see you guys. Not that I don't love you, but you know, the workload might drag you a little bit, and I think that's kind of what happened with us.
Well, I mean, you were touring around the world. I mean, you're opening for MIA. I mean, your Cool Kids was a business.
Yeah, it was moving, but there's parts of it that we still, like, it jumped out of our hands really fast. You know what I mean? Like, we had this idea, and then next thing you know, it's like, you know, like, oh,
a lot
man.
Of people want it, yeah. Right?
So I think more or less, to sum that up, we just got a grip on everything now, so it's cooler. You know, like, sometimes you got to navigate things on your own and know if you really want to do this, is this, you know, was that just, you know, like one of those things, like those people that have those one hits and then, you know, a couple years later, they're just selling cars because they're like, yeah, it's chopped, you know, and like it's over with. That wasn't us. I think I got more into the instrumental side of making music and he got into the, you know, more lyrical side of making music. I didn't want to rap for a while.
Right.
And when you're in a group where you're both rapping and, you know, things have to be done together, I think sometimes you just want to do certain things on your own and not offend anyone. And that's kind of what that was. Yeah. It's like going to a different school.
Yeah.
You know, trying to learn something different. Because now I don't have the limitations I used to have sonically. Like, there was stuff I couldn't do in 2011.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, how you know, getting back together, let's talk about the evolution of that, the idea of your music and how it's changed from what you recorded and put on my, and got together on MySpace back in 2007, 2008, into what we're hearing from Running Man and what we hear from Cool Kids in 2016.
It's weird because I hate a lot of our old
really?
Stuff. Not because it was bad, but just like I'm so much better than that. And like I'll listen to certain instrumentals like, damn, it's not as good as like all the stuff I have now, which I believe if you're an artist or you're any sort of creator, if you don't hate what you did 2 years ago, you're not really that much better than it, you know, like, mm-hmm. And there's no journey.
Is that the same for lyrics, for, you know, evolving as a lyricist?
Yeah, I feel like with lyrics and, you know, being a songwriter, you get to kind of experiment and grow a little bit more into your capabilities, you know, because when you're in a group, in a sense, you got to like cooperate. You have to cooperate and you got to like be a working piece in a machine. You know what I mean?
Like, you got a part to play.
Yeah, you got a part to play. You can't just like do whatever you're thinking of. But sometimes that's necessary to get better and necessary to like, you know, expand your catalog of things you can do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being solo and being able to like venture off for a minute definitely gave me a lot bigger skill set. You know, I'm able to do a lot more than I was able to before because I was able to go off and check this out, check that out, or try this, try that. And it doesn't have to be a component of a working team. You know, it's just like, all right, it's just me doing this and making it.
You know, your story, it talks a lot about how you guys got together. And it really was this love of some of the more classic rap and hip hop sounds. You know, and you hear that from Eric B. And I mean, hearing some of your early stuff, I mean, it's a departure from what was being produced at the time with sort of really experimental or exotic beats. I mean, it was a straight ahead classic hip hop track.
There was also a lot of new, it was a lot of new grounds being broken around the time me and him met. Like, I think one of the common denominators we had was Lupe.
Yeah.
Like, at that point in time, I don't think anybody had like a Jay-Z co-signed, super lyrical, like into the stuff you're into, like another rapper coming out and vocally professing his love for the Neptunes, you know, like stuff like that is what we never heard. You know, most of those rappers were coming out, and you think about 04 and 05, if you weren't like a 50 Cent offshoot, if you hadn't been shot, if you hadn't like
K-Slay,
yeah,
if you hadn't K-Slay cosign, if you didn't have K-Slay cosign,
if he wasn't talking about K-Slay. Tons of just, it used to frustrate me too, because I was thinking about being an up and coming producer at that time in college and making beat CDs, and then thinking about who I would ship my beat CD off to. And I remember like thinking down the line, like, okay, you got MOP, you got The Game, you got like, this ain't gonna work for me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the, you guys, it really was a departure, not just for, I mean, the retro feel of going back to the really crisp classic beats, but you weren't rapping about getting shot. I mean, you're talking, I mean, there's a lot of your stuff is about, I mean, there's some great stuff about Chicago, but there's also, I mean, it's almost about the culture and the style, everything
and
around.
I also think on a deeper level, we both, you know, I was born on the east side of Detroit. And just like him, we didn't come from, like, you would think, like, we had, you know, dogs and all of the nice stuff in our neighborhood, but I never was disenfranchised. But at the same time, I grew up and saw a lot of the stuff that rappers that talk about it, they never saw what I saw.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen some real, real intense, you know what I'm saying?
And you're not necessarily exploiting that.
Yeah, nothing to be exploited.
It's like, I was always taught, like, you don't exploit it. You try to get out. Like, everybody that I knew that was, like, living a life of danger, crime, and, you know, and it's Chicago, so, of course, and I'm from out south, so it's like everybody that grew up, you know, in the city was always taught to, like, you want to get away. You want to elevate past it. You want to kind of, like, shed light on something else to get out of that and get away from that, as opposed to, like, you know, use it as a tool to get attention and shock, shock factor.
As crazy it is to believe now, there was like nobody rapping about sneakers. There was nobody rapping about none of the stuff that people talk about now while we were talking about it. There was no like, let's rap about our gym shoes. Let's like talk about a trip to the grocery store, but make it sound like we sold some bricks or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's basically the whole angle behind it, because people are just listening to the beat and the rhythms. Most of these people can't connect to anything is being said.
So let me do this. Let me take a quick break, because I want to come back and I want to get into the concept, because after you guys, Chicago's rap scene took a departure. I mean, whether it be the drill scene, and we saw with the independent scene coming up with Chance the Rapper, there have been a lot of different ways that the Chicago rap scene has gone since
pretty
the Cool
well
Kids.
Well, yeah,
it's accurate,
well, but let's talk about that. In studio with me, the Cool Kids, they're going to be at the Art Institute's After Dark series. That'll be on November 18th. Tickets are on sale now. Sir Michael Rocks and Chuck English in studio with me tonight, the Cool Kids. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guests at the big table tonight, the Cool Kids, back together again, the influential alternative hip-hop group from Chicago, and I guess Chicago and Michigan, both, but Chicago. I mean, you guys are Chicago.
From across the lake, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But
the city across the lake.
The Cool Kids came on the scene, busted on the scene with their debut album, Bake Sale, which is 2008. Great Great, great album. And they are back together now, 2016. They got a show at the Art Institute, the After Dark series. It's going to be on November 18th. In studio, Sir Michael Rocks, Chuck English. Let's keep the conversation going. I'm interested in talking about the other scenes of hip-hop in Chicago. After you guys, when I say the kind of alternative hip-hop, you were an indie precursor to what we saw with the drill scene where Chief Keef and others around exploded. I mean, they became, everyone around the country knew Chicago as the drill scene. And that's different than what you guys are doing. And it also is a little different than what we were just talking about. They are rapping about their experience. Chief Keef and Lil Herb and others, Bibby, they're all rapping about where they came from, what they're experiencing in the moment. There's a lot of violence, a lot of crime, a lot of poverty, gangs, things of that nature. It's a very controversial style of music.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, this is the thing about Chicago too. It's like Chicago is a very segregated city, and it's based on, you know, class, race, and ethnicity a lot of the time in the city. Like it's a lot of people outside of Chicago might not, you know, recognize that, but it's a city where if you go on a train 20 minutes this way, it's a whole different world. You go on a train 20 minutes that way, right, completely different world. Like, it's a city where you can see a lot of different stuff, and that's how I kind of grew up myself, you know, coming from, like, out in the south suburbs. Like, we would hop on a train and go to the city and try to link up with girls in the hood and stuff and get chased around by some of the guys from that hood that we wasn't from. So it was like, you know, you got a chance to kind of see it all. And we would hop on a train and go to the Field Museum too. You know, we would go to the aquarium, we would go downtown, we would go see, you know, we would be right here on Michigan Ave and, you know, kind of experiencing another lifestyle at the same time.
And that's so important. Important as an artist to be able to see different things and different perspectives and change, and influences your music.
Definitely. We would be able to, like, kind of cross a lot of different barriers and, you know, experience a lot of different walks of life that were different from ours, just because, you know, Chicago is it's a city where there's a lot of different cultures and a lot of different walks of life. So, you know, just hopping on a train, you can go see five different types of people, five different types of lives that are completely different, and then you go back to yours at the end of the night and just kind of
are you guys surprised at how that the drill scene became the most popular style of rap to come out of Chicago from a national perspective, from the record labels and things of that nature?
I think it's just a weird way to put it, but I feel like fear drives a lot. And they know for a fact that out here, what they seen in the video is pretty much what you seeing. Like, they not stunting, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that kind of, like, influences other neighborhoods where, like, they do it. They keeping it real. Like, we gotta keep the drum. We gotta throw the drum on our gun and rap with. But, you know, that's Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't your area. And I feel like just how, like, Southern music crept up into New York. Like, it's not like fear of being scared. It's like the fear of not being in tune with the cool stuff. Like, not even cool stuff. Like, when 50 Cent was out, like, everybody was rocking the bulletproof vest. And ever since that era, it's not cool to be shot in rap no more. You can't get shot and get on because you got shot. That's not cracking anymore.
It's not the way in right now.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like be from the toughest neighborhood in the city. That's where they were. You know, like that came from Inglewood. That came from certain parts of the South Side. You know, out in Chicago, South Side music used to sound way different than West Side music.
Yeah.
Used to sound way different than downtown backpacking. Mm-hmm. College rap, because that's what it was when I was in school.
And I would say, and you guys don't necessarily fit into any of those categories, but I would say the college backpack a little bit closer to that with the Lupe Fiascos and at least the scene and what Chicago was known for before the drill, which was this conscious rap, this Common, Kanye West, Lupe Fiasco. I mean, that's sort of where you guys fit in. Is it strange to be the elder statesmen of the Chicago scene? I mean, the cool kids. I mean, you guys are young guys. I mean, the
funny
idea.
It's funny because when we came in, we already looked legendary, kind of. You know, when we came in, we kind of already looked like we were not from this time anyway. So it kind of gave us, you know, a bigger sky to grow in, you know, gave us a lot more room to grow with, because we kind of came in already not looking like we're from the times anyway.
You look different than what everyone was looking like in 2005,
right,
2006.
Right, right, right. It was already a big, like, big thing, because we didn't look like we were from that time period anyway. So the fact that now that there's been, like, some years in between when we first came out, it kind of feels like the same a little bit, because it's like we already were kind of looking like we're
yeah. from somewhere else anyway. So
this is similar now.
Yeah.
As you guys prepare to do shows and get back out on stage at the Art Institute on the 18th and new music, which is out now, the single that's out, I'll have conversations with artists who were part of the record industry, putting CDs out, and now they're trying to make a transition into this digital age. You guys were at the forefront of the digital age. You met and put your beats out on MySpace. Most of all, your records have been released as mixtapes. I mean, the internet has changed. Digital music has changed, obviously, in 8 to 10 years, a decade that you guys have been performing. But how do you keep up with it? I mean, because you really are trendsetters at the beginning of the digital age.
That's a really good question, because it's hard to explain this internet age, given the fact that the record industry people that didn't believe that it was shifting this way tried to fight it. And then about 2012, 2013, they had no choice. So now you go from resistance to resistance. Instead of everybody believing in one, like, system, like, you know, streaming should work, right? But streaming pays out so whack that right. it kind of, like, forces you to have to stream because there's no other way. But the people that didn't believe in it has come through and fixed it in their behalf.
Right,
you know what I
right,
mean?
Right.
So you got one era where we walk through where it's like, oh, you know, these people don't count. They put out their album for free. You know what I'm saying?
Right, now, right.
To
Everybody
the point
knows that.
That, you know, somebody that, I believed in since the day one, like Chance, he's just about to get a Grammy off putting out an album for free. So you're watching, like, us come through, everybody hate it. Somebody we know comes through the back end and just completely chops the head off.
You guys
off the
are pioneers in that way.
Yeah, but like what, you know, like I feel like in his song, you don't want no problem. Like Chance mm-hmm. is no problems. It's talking about the label bumping heads with, like, the industries always want to swim upstream. They always want to believe that the way they made money was genius, when actually the way they made money was fixing it.
Or working off the backs of artists, right?
Right. My whole theory about the CD industry is why the whole record industry kind of crashed, because you're selling wolf tickets, like you're selling plastic, you know what I'm saying? And everything, you're selling plastic for $22, and then nobody can preview it. That's fixing things.
I'm fascinated, as you guys being the pioneers of the digital age, Cool Kids being early on when we talk about, you know, putting out records for free. Does that give you an advantage of getting back into 2016, because you've lived through the changes of the record industry? You've lived through the digital age. You know it. I mean, is it sort of firsthand to you guys?
It's actually been a blessing to be able to kind of see a lot of it start and then kind of get out of the way when a lot of stuff got messed up.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of dipped out at the right time when a lot of stuff was getting weird and going bad. So we kind of like split at the perfect time, and to be able to kind of navigate that storm
mm-hmm.
and be able to come back now where things make a little more sense as far as how this business is ran and as far as, you know, the results that you'll get from A, B, or C. So we're a little bit more clear on what can happen now. It's not the best industry to be in right now. It's kind of weird, a lot of weird stuff, and it's a lot of confusion as far as like where it'll be going in the next couple years, as far as like how artists are being paid and
mm-hmm.
treated and how the business is being ran. But it's better than it was a couple years
ago. Let me ask you a final question. What for the 2016, for the Cool Kids in 2016, what's the goal?
I always saw this as a lifelong journey. Like, how do we leave this legacy so that, you know, if we have kids, they're walking around like, oh, yeah, that's one of the Cool Kids' kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you do that? And I think not trying to get it all done right away. You know what I'm saying?
Having some patience.
There's we can end up making an album, or we can end up becoming like the new Coen brothers, because there's stuff that we just want to entertain as the Cool Kids. Doesn't mean that we're going to do an album. It means like we could do an album, or we could write a short, or the live action, you know what I mean? Things like that. So having that being your grand scale, like, keeps you a little bit more freer.
Less hip-hop artist, more creative entity.
Yeah, because the hip-hop part of it is still a category, and, like, there's times where Will might make a song and he, you know, we could scat over something. It's just about being creators.
The goal is to make Cool Kids, like, an umbrella that's able to house things from visuals to clothing and music and all these things that kind of encompass and describe who we are and describe our interests. We want to make Cool Kids like an umbrella for all of that, so we can just have a home to be able to do what we whatever we want to do.
Like,
really,
I've drawn out my own fork and knife set, and I have like a patent on some barbecue sauce. Like I just
Cool Kids barbecue sauce.
Yeah, it's just like things that we do together. Like the Cool Kids won't, it won't be called that, but it will be known as like, you know, that design team or that creative right? team or something like the same way any other artists. Like Jack White, when I see all the stuff that he's been able to accomplish, like the first time we were about to get signed, when we went to XL Records, they showed us this little to scale record player that Jack White made with little records that you could put on there, you can twist it, and it would play it.
That's awesome.
And the records came with their own little, like, they were scaled, so they had the little tissue paper, like the wax, and you pull it out. That's the type of stuff I want to do. I have, everything comes out of necessity, so like when I'm cooking, like, none of my stuff looks like how I want it to look. I want some colored things.
Well, I would say get a trademark on it before explaining it to everybody on GN Radio, because they'll just keep ripping off the Cool Kids, right? The Cool Kids are going to be on stage.
One day, one
that
day.
Part, that part out.
One day all of this will pay off, but yeah. Like, into the meantime, if I don't say it, it won't happen. Yeah. So the more I say it, the more it comes true.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming in studio, man. I've been a fan for a long time, and you got to come back, too, especially if you come up with new creative pursuits and talk about the Cool Kids Enterprise. We'd love to have you back. Cool Kids are going to be on stage at the Art Institute, the After Dark series on November 18th. Tickets are on sale now. Sir Michael Rocks and Chuck English in studio. Guys, thanks so much for coming through. Appreciate
it. Thank you, man.